Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome hello. To Okay, Okay, We're Listening. This week we're going to tackle the topic of fatherhood in today's society. We're going to talk about what it means to be a father, the obstacles that men go through. We're going to talk about co-parenting, child support, raising someone else's child. So without further ado, we're going to introduce our panel. Chris, are you with us tonight?
Yes. How's it going, Priscilla? How's everything?
Excellent. How was your week this week?
So far, so good. Shaping up to be pretty well. How about yourself?
Perfect. Greg, you with us?
I'm here, Priscilla. How are you?
I am fantastic. Battling a cold a little bit, but I think I will survive.
Okay. Hope you make it through.
I'm telling you. My very first question tonight, and I want both of you to just, I guess, think about it, give me your sincere answer. What does it mean to be a father to you? And when I say that, I mean when you realized your wife or your significant other was pregnant, the minute that baby came into the world, was it a milestone for you? Were you always ready for it? Like, what does it mean to be a father? Greg, first question, I'll pose it to you.
I was not ready for it. We did plan for it, to have a child, and it didn't seem natural. And I couldn't figure out how I could love another human being until mm-hmm. I actually laid eyes on my daughter. And mm-hmm. when I laid eyes on my daughter, I felt like my life was renewed and I had new purpose. Mm-hmm. But then we was pregnant again about 13 months later, and we had another child. And at that point, you know, the same thing. I couldn't fathom how I could actually love another person. Like, I was thinking to myself, well, I got this one daughter. How can I love another one? And as soon as she came into the world, it was just a overwhelming feeling that came over me. So to me, a father is just much more than just conceiving a child, but it's just more of nurturing and giving your all and being that particular person that this child is going to raise up to try to emulate, and also try to say that this person is my mentor. And I try my best to be in a position to be that particular person for my daughters. It gets me emotional just thinking about it, because it's just an overwhelming feeling that I have when I even think about my babies.
Hmm. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, it was for me, it was hard to believe. My circumstances, I had my son when I was later in life, when I was about 37, 38. So I wasn't really looking to have children anymore. But when I was hit with the news, number one, my mother had just passed away. Mm. So I found out about a month after my mother had passed away. And I felt it just hit me, and I can't say I was in shock. I can't say I was, it was just a feeling that it was something I had to do and take on, because I wanted a family on my own. Now that my mother had gone and my father has been gone for so long, it was like, maybe this is what I needed, even though at the mm-hmm. point in time, I was like, no, I just want to be single. I want to do what I want to do. Mm. But getting that, it was just like a new lease or a new outlook. And to actually, as Greg said, when you actually lay eyes on your child for the first time, especially if it's your firstborn, it's awe-inspiring. I mean, it just changes your whole life and mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm certainly not a father, but as a mother, I can relate to some of that. 100%. I do want to go ahead on and pose our Twitter question and open the phone lines. I want to know, does co-parenting work? You have some couples that maybe the relationship wasn't that strong and they just wanted to co-parent. I'm wondering, how is that working out? Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. And I would like for, you know, folks to just call in and share their experiences. Our phone calls tonight are sponsored by T. Graham Photography. T. Graham Photography, they offer wedding photos. They currently have specials on wedding packages. They offer quality photos with professionalism. You can reach them by calling 678-986-2134. Again, that's 678-986-2134. Since we have that question kind of floating out there in the universe for our callers, I want to know from you guys. I'm not sure what your situation is currently, Greg. I don't think this would apply to you, but you probably have some friends who are going through it. Is child support working, our current child support system?
Oh, wow. I would say absolutely not. My wife, Tiffany, used to work with one of these counties out here in Georgia with the child support system, and it's a complete mess. And the way I see that is that she had an example of someone that didn't pay his child support. So judge automatically sentenced him to 60 days in jail. He's in jail for 60 days, and he comes back out to see the judge, and the judge asks him a simple question: are you ready to pay your child support? So he answers her and says, I've been in jail for 60 days. How am I supposed to have the money that I didn't have before? I didn't make any income. I don't have any extra cash flowing in, no residual income. Okay, go back to jail for another 60 days. So now, this tool that we use for a child support system is not necessarily helping out the family. It's actually messing up or even destroying families. And, you know, Chris was talking about this in another episode about the penal system, that we actually are, is an organization or a corporation to allow, you know, particularly black males to be farmed to this system so these corporations can make money and also the state could get money from that. So it's not doing anything to help out anybody. It's basically putting you in a bad situation that you're going to have a criminal record. So once you have this criminal record, it's going to be harder for you to get a job. And if it's going to be harder for you to get a job, it's going to be harder for you to pay child support to even support your family. So it's more a division more than anything else than to actually help out a family or a community where it actually be needed, because the child is the only one that's suffering. And I understand there's deadbeat dads out there that's not doing anything for their child, and that's why you want to put this preventive system on them. But a lot of these men out here are doing what they can do. They're giving all they can give, and they don't have enough because somewhere or another they say, okay, you got to give this certain amount. Well, if I give this certain amount, I can't survive myself, but I already give for my child, so how much do you want me to give? So it's all messed up. It's all set up for us to fail more than actually succeed. And as you can see in more in the black communities, you'll see these children without their fathers. Like, okay, he's in jail. What did he do? He didn't pay child support.
Yeah.
That's not a criminal offense. That's just a thing that the judge or the criminal system said that this is what you have to do, and he can't afford to actually pay that. So I think it's completely out of whack.
Chris, what's your take on it?
I think I definitely agree with Greg. I mean, the way it's set up now, it seems to just keep people in the system, and it doesn't help those who should be helping the kids. But it seems like it's just to keep men
oppressed
in the system, oppressed in jail. And I don't see they keep it like a. They just want people to walk in. They don't even look at your face. They just, you know, you're just a number to them, the judges, you know, the prosecutors. They don't even want to hear the case in the particulars. They just say, did you pay? No, go to jail. Did you pay? No, you're going to have this fine. We're going to revoke your license. Well, if I don't have a license, I can't get to work. I can't drive to work. You know what I'm saying? It's just crazy, and it's maddening, because they have to identify what they're doing. They have to see what they're doing, because they're not helping who they need to be helping.
Yeah.
And it's sorry
Sisters,
situation.
Do
right
not
now.
Put us in this particular predicament, please. You got to find another way to actually get to your baby father to actually get him money, get money from him, because you're putting us into the system. You know, you're putting us in a very big disadvantage, and it's only hurting the child. It's only hurting the child.
What I would say is, if you have a child and you feel like it's not going to work between your child's mother or vice versa, go first to child support. You know, take your pay stubs, and then you'll be able to work out the income, because it's supposed to be like 23% or maybe 30%, depending on how many kids you have. But do it first, because if you let the other person do it, then you're at their whim, you're at their what they feel and their expenses, and they can always jack up the prices, and they're not caring, because usually it's not working, and that's why you're splitting in the first place. And if this person has ill intentions or bad feelings against you or towards you, they are trying to get back at you, but they don't see that they're hurting their kid in the long run. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I hate this guy, I hate this woman, I need this child support, and I'm going to say these expenses. And then you're going to have this person hurting. Yeah, I'm going to make him hurt, I'm going to make him hurt. But yeah, then this person's in jail, this person has a record, and then there's no child support anyway. So what are you doing?
You're dealing with the child's father. You're dealing with the child's father. So if you're looking, if you have a daughter with this particular man, you know, there's nobody greater than her father. And you constantly put her father in jail. You're destroying this woman's whole world right here. So now she's thinking, well, you know, my dad was never here. So now we got this woman going to the streets, having sex 12, 13 years old, or even earlier than that. And they just automatically just assume that this is the way to be. I got to have a roughneck. I got to have a thug, because my dad was the same when he was in jail. But he was in jail because he was a bad person. He was in jail because he couldn't afford what the system had said for him to do. And that is completely bad.
Right.
So we, like Chris said, we have to have a different way to actually settle in that, instead of allowing the court system in. Because once you let the government in, you just made
that's
your child a ward of the state, pretty much.
Yeah, that's it.
You can't get them out. Once they're in, once they're involved, you can't get them out.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not, man. It's crazy. That hits me hard in my chest, because I know a lot of males out there that's going through these problems. I know guys that's straight up, stand up citizens, go to church, got their own business, but you know what? They have kids with the other ladies, and now all of a sudden they got to go to jail because they can't afford it, because they're striving to make their business be successful. And they're trying to hustle 9 to 5, trying to get that money, and all of a sudden they got to go to jail for 30 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And now if you go on, I guess, these different websites, what's the one that you can actually recommend a contract or something? But any one of those websites, and they look and they say, okay, this person has a criminal record, or I can't use this person. Now your business is suffering.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I also want to remind our listeners, please, if there are any couples who are co-parenting currently, please call in and tell us about your experience. You can call in at 515-605-9703. Again, that's 515-605-9703. We really want to hear from you. Guys, I have another issue that I want to bring up with child support. A few years ago, there were some cases in the news that was really heart-wrenching for me. Here you had a guy who had been paying child support, found out that the child wasn't his, and he went to jail because he was still responsible for the child support.
The child was not his?
The child was not his, no. Some states are just very, the only thing they're concerned about is the care of the child. So as long as that man was taking care of that child, he's now on the hook. And there were a couple of cases, one specifically in 2015, it was out of Florida. And he had been paying child support, found out the kid wasn't his, thought he didn't have to pay it any longer, and they locked him up. It didn't matter that he was not the biological father. And
was he white or black?
He was black.
Of course.
But unfortunately, a lot of states have set up like that. This is across all racial lines. This is a phenomenon that is happening, because courts just want someone to take care of the child. They don't want them on public assistance. I'm guessing that's the reasoning. And they are making these men stay on child support for children that biologically are not theirs. I'm surprised you guys haven't heard of this. What do you think about that?
I've heard of it. I definitely heard of it. There's been a couple of cases like that. And, of course, I definitely don't agree with it. But I think their reasoning behind it, the way they explained it, is you've been in this child's life, so you've been acting as their parent. It's almost as if you adopted this parent, you adopted this child. So you have the responsibilities as the parent, so you must continue to pay your child support. It's a sad situation, you know, because who knows how this person was put in that situation to begin with. Was he tricked? Did the his spouse or his lover tell him that it was your child, or and he never found out? But as the child grew up, did he start to see, like, hey, we really don't look the same, man. What's going on?
And then now, that was the situation. He did not know. He thought this child was his, and through a DNA test, he found out the child was not his. So that was his argument. This is not my child biologically. I thought it was, but it wasn't. So it's not like he was a parent, step-parent, came in, adopted the child, and said, hey, I'm the father. I'm taking responsibility. He didn't know. And then when he found out, I believe the child was maybe 12 or so. And
12, 6 years. I think you might have to go to 21 now. It's not even 18. You might have to pay to 21. But anyway, it's like you have to – he's probably paying. He's probably the lowest tax income, lowest tax bracket, and he really didn't have the money to pay for a lawyer. And then you just become – whatever lawyer they chose you, you know what I'm saying, to take your case, and you just have to go with it. And it just sucks. I mean, he was doing the best he could. He didn't know the child was his. And, of course, when the child isn't yours and you feel like, hey, you were cheated on, you want to move on. You want to start your new life. And now the court is tying you to that person.
That is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. You know, I used to hear ladies tell me back in the day when I was younger, it says, mother's babies, father's baby. So that's a great example of that right there. But, you know, I completely agree with Chris. You know, when you actually are taking care of someone's child and then all of a sudden you just try to exit, then I guess there's an issue. I can understand the point of view of the woman because she probably thought it was his child or probably knew or just trying to be vindictive. But still, he was still the support system. And just to automatically just leave like that, I get both angles. But on a sad note, what can he do about that? Like Chris said, if you're in a bad situation, you're financially not able to actually get a lawyer, then you're at the whims of the justice system.
Yeah.
I'm real passionate about all of this because this, once again, is destroying our community. No matter how you look at it, slice it, dice it, once you put us into this actual court system, ladies, this is what you're doing to us. And if you have any love for your child, please do not do that. I commend all my sisters, all these ladies that's out there that do not put their men on child support, even though they have a dead big dad. They are still being responsible, taking the lead, taking the helm to make sure that their child is provided for and not destroying or adding to the monster we call our penal system that actually is more of a corporation than anything else and then a state type of a utility or a facility. So please, whatever we do in our here, and if you take anything from this particular part of the show, do not put us in that particular bind that we can never get out of, and we're always going to have a record, and that's always going to diminish us. It's always going to be a scar in your children's life, and they want to see their dad. They have to go to the actual jailhouse to see their dad. That makes no sense. You're destroying the fabric of our culture.
I would say that, but if you love the person, give them a chance. I mean, it's hard out here. You don't want to, I mean, the economy sucks and a lot of people can't make it on their own. So you need that support, but let that person know, like, hey, I need some money. I'm going to give you a month or 2 months at most. You have to go to the court and you have to put yourself on child support. That's giving you a chance to get your pay stubs, and it goes off your pay. It's not an arbitrary number. It goes off your pay. So you bring your pay stubs down to the courthouse, and they take, like I said, it's either 23, it depends on how many kids you have, 23, 30, and it goes up from there. But get it done. So if the other person goes, then they could tack on all the any type of expense, you know, child care, mm-hmm. private school, clothes, you know what I'm saying? And then you'll be paying more than just the child support. So if you love the person, let them know, give them an ultimatum like, hey, I need support. If you're not going to give me the support that I need, I'm going to have to take you to, you know, this family court. So go down yourself and put yourself on child support. If you don't do that in a month or two, I'm going to have to do it for you.
Even with that being said, Chris, if you're making $11 an hour and you have, let's say, and I'm not making any excuses, but if you have two different baby moms, you're taking 23% per child, what's that going to leave you with to survive?
I hear what you're saying.
You can't
do anything
to actually give the child. In a month or two, you're going to be out of work because you can't live anywhere.
I hear what you're saying. But we are adults. We are human beings. We all have the right to life. You have pro-choice. You can wear a condom. You can have no kids at all. It's up to you. But if you make that choice, support these kids.
I'm with that. But once we put the court system in there, man, that's a different ballgame altogether. Why do we have to have the court system involved in anything of our lives? We're basically saying the government actually rule over us, actually have a taskmaster on top of us. On top of everything else that we have inside of our lives as well, too.
All I'm saying is the only reason, the other one, hopefully the only reason, if they're being vindictive, that's totally different. That does happen. But the only reason I hope that it happens because she can't support herself or he can't support himself. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I need that support. So, and it seems like you don't want to give it willingly. So I have to go to the court system. Yes, if this was, you know, Shangri-La, Utopia, people would pay what they're supposed to pay, and it wouldn't have to get the court system involved. But this is what happens.
Yeah.
But if you want to make sure the cost is as low as it can be, you have to do it the custodial parent would have to go to the court system and put themselves on a child support.
So yeah,
already doing this. What's the point of putting them on child support? Because there are men doing that already, and the woman already wanted to put them on child support just to have something on top of them.
Well, that shows you that's the women that he got himself involved with.
Yeah, he picked them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to this will definitely segue into our next question. A lot of times this situation occurs when people break up. As long as you're together, everything is okay. As soon as you break up, the punishment is to put you on child support. And mm-hmm. so if you are in a relationship and, you know, you guys break up, do you allow that kind of thing to affect your parenting, affect your children? I mean, what do you do? I mean, what happens when you have an adversarial co-parent who is making your life a living hell after you've broken up?
Well, it's going to happen. I mean, it all depends on how you break up. And a breakup is just that. You're breaking up. It's something that was abrupt and you didn't actually see coming. And depending on how the breakup was, you know, was it cheating? Was it just you fell out of love? Or that's going to also add to the factors that, you know, do you have an adversarial co-parent? Or do you have someone that you can be amicable and, you know, both rear your child's life together? But, This all factors in. So when you mm-hmm. posed the question before, Priscilla, that can you co-parent or is co-parent working? That's a big factor. How did you break up? You know, if someone feels slighted, if someone feels wronged, they're always going to take it out on the other person. So when it comes to the co-parenting, they're going to be late dropping the child off. They're going to be late picking the child up. They don't want to pay the child support. They're going to be this, that. That's always going to be a factor. So you really have to... You know, when you get in these relationships, you got to think about everything you're doing, not just, oh, I want to be in the moment, I cheated and we can move on. No, these are going to have long-lasting repercussions. These ripple effects are going to be felt with your life and child's life.
Well, also just digging a little deeper in that, you have men who are in such horrible situations with their exes that they end up avoiding the whole situation altogether. They end up not seeing the child because they don't want to bother with the mother. And that happens far too often. But that is directly affecting an innocent child who had nothing to do with it. So in that respect, what do you do? I mean, I've witnessed several of those situations where the father tried. He just couldn't get along with the mother. She was, I mean, for lack of a better term, just tripping. And he just said, you know, I can't deal. And the pain was real with him not being able to see his kids, but he couldn't deal with her. Have you guys ever experienced that, or maybe not personally, but just maybe somebody in your life that you know?
Well, Priscilla, that goes on both sides of the table. Men do that too. Like, hey, if you don't give me some, I'm not going to come through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to take care of the kids. It's like everything got to be evolving their prior relationship, and they forget that this is the child that we're actually talking about, and this is the child that we have to try to raise. Chris bring up a valid point. It's like, you know, who are you dealing with? You know, who did you get with? Who did you sleep with? You know, at that particular time, you was thinking, hey, this person might be the one. I like her. I want to get with her. You probably didn't think he's going to have a child with her, but you did. Now, where do you go from here once you do break up? Okay. You can't control how another person is going to be on the other end. You know, if you know that the situation is going to be a real toxic situation every time that you communicate, some way or another, if you have a family member on that side that you was close with and you could speak to, or anything that could slightly make it better for that child, you will try your best to make it a point that is not about you two anymore. It's about the child and how that child's life is going to be. You have to bring things into perspective. You know, I have this friend of mine, a lady friend of mine, and me and her talk about this all the time, about her children, and then she's trying to co-parent, and they have these issues with her husband, her ex-husband, and he always trying to get back into the life with her. But, you know, I simply told her, I was like, hey, man, this ex-husband of yours, he's not making as much money as you. He's actually sick. He's on different type of medicine and things like that to actually survive. And right now, their son is suffering in school because he doesn't have that mentorship from his father trying to tell him, hey, this is what you need to do, son. You know, you need to leave that alone. You need to leave this alone. I know you're a teenager. You need to be this way or that way. So all I told her what she needs to do is to speak to him to get in the side of his head. It's like, hey, you're sick. You're not making as much money as you used to make before. Your son is coming up. Do you want him to be a bum on the streets? Or do you want him to be a lawyer, a doctor, so he can actually help you out later on in life and be able to provide for you? So stop thinking about us. Think about what your child is actually going through, because this is really affecting. This is a very crucial time in his life to actually become a man. He's transitioning. He got all these hormones going on within him. And if you keep on thinking about what's between my legs, talking about her, you will never get what you need from this child, because he's going to be a burden on you when he gets older. So somewhere or another, that communication has to happen. It hurts. I know it sucks, because this person probably did something bad to you. This person's always trying to get at you, trying to do something wrong to you. But somewhere or another, you got to connect to that person's, I guess, their ego, to let them understand that, hey, if this continues on, this is the product that you're producing, and it's going to be just like you or even worse.
Yeah. All right, guys, I want to take a pause for the calls. I want to bring in the lovely Miss Tiffany. She has a Twitter question for us. Tiffany, what you got?
All right. What are some of the differences from a male perspective of raising boys versus girls?
What's the difference, guys? We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago and how we raise boys and girls differently, but what do you guys think? Chris?
I have a lot of nieces and nephews. I have about 10 nieces and nephews, and I used to help raise them when they were younger. I didn't see any difference. I think maybe the boys seem to get in a little bit more trouble. They want to touch everything, and the girls a little bit more reserved. But as not that much of a difference from what I've seen. What about you, Greg?
I see a tremendous difference. And the way I do things, and I, like, just like Chris, I have a lot of nieces and nephews, but the way that I do things when it comes to girls is that when they get to about 7 or 8 years old, I take them to the most fanciest restaurant I possibly know. Tell them to order anything they possibly want off the menu. And then at the end of the day, I tell them, hey, when you go on a date, you should expect this. You should be treated this way. You need to be respectful of yourself. You have to make sure that a man treats you the way that you're supposed to be treated. My daughters, I used to have them say this all the time. I'm beautiful, I'm intelligent, and I'll always be that way if I respect myself. So this is the thing, the mantra that I always put inside their minds, because they, as a woman, they have all these things going on, these emotions, these feelings. They want to be loved. They're more emotional. They want this connection when they get older, when they want that from a man. A boy doesn't really necessarily want that. He wants to be able to find a woman and be able to provide for her. While a girl, she wants to be able to see by example what is a true definition of a man. And whatever definition that you give her, that's what she's going to follow by, especially if she finds you the man of her life. And when it comes to guys, you know, boys, you know, to me, they're a little bit different. They want to do what you do. They want to emulate the things that you do. If you're working on a car, they want to help you work on a car. Girls want to do that as well. But they more, because they are looking into the future, say, okay, when I do get older, how do I take care of my house? How do I take care of my lawn? How do I provide for my family? How can I be that particular person that I see down the street? That man is a great man because every child, every woman respects him, and he has that authority that that I'm looking for. So I try to be a little bit different when it comes to boys. I try to show them by example, you know, what a man is supposed to be by doing things for, you know, maybe for their mothers or their aunts, their grandmothers, or any woman around, so they can actually see what they're supposed to be for a man growing up in our society.
Yeah, yeah. I feel comfortable throwing my two cents in on this one because I have a son and a daughter. And when they were smaller, my son was really laid back, you know, give him some cars and he could play for hours. My daughter was really into nail painting and tutus and tiaras and all of this other stuff. She was high maintenance. But now that they're older, I find myself having conversations with my son. He's 17, about how to conduct himself in society if you get stopped by a police officer. I come out and tell him, hey, people look at you as a predator just for you walking in the door. I'm like,
yeah,
you know,
he's 6 foot, right?
Right. And I have those conversations with him, and I've never had a single conversation with my daughter on that level or that respect. And I just tell him that because I'm afraid for his life. Every time he leaves out and he's driving his little car, I'm just like, oh, my goodness, because anything could happen, you know. So for me, in that respect, as a mom, I do have those different and separate conversations. And of course, my daughter is still high maintenance. I mean, she wants everything all the time. Judah, my son, he's just, you know, laid back. He wants to ride out. But I do have those serious conversations with him as a man. And I try to let him, I always keep it in the forefront, you know, where to keep his insurance card, where to keep his registration. If a cop stops you, put your hand there. And that's a really real conversation. It's a tough conversation. And I'm telling him, like, Judah, this is serious. Please.
And that's really valid, Priscilla, because I know, I don't know if I can speak for Chris, but I know growing up in New York, if we drive into the city and we make a wrong turn or run a red light, we get pulled out the car and guns is drawn to us because of who we are as a black man. You know, so those are the things that you never know what's going to happen, how it's going to pop off. It might look like it's new things now because it's on, you know, video, but this is what we've been going through forever. So you're right.
Absolutely.
Those are things that you have to teach your sons as well, because if they are like myself and Chris, we're both over 6'3". You know, Chris is 220. I'm about 240. So we look intimidated already. So automatically, if we get in any type of situation, we've been drinking, we've been out, and we get into some kind of confrontation, that could be the end of us. So you're right. You know, as a male, you have to teach them differently of those particular perils in life.
Yeah, just educate him on society. Yeah, educate him on how society views him. I wanted to move on. How do you guys feel about, Greg, and I'll let you take this one. How do you feel about raising, I shouldn't say other people's children, but would you be okay with a step-parenting scenario? Meeting a woman, stepping in, she has a son or children, 10, 11 years old, would that be a deterrent for you? Because some men, I've heard them say they don't want to date a woman with children. Some women say the same thing, but I'm just talking about the fathers. Would that be a deterrent for you? Or in your experience with your friends, is that something that you guys discuss?
Personally, it wouldn't be a deterrent for me, even though I'm not in a situation to be dating someone. But for me, I've been a type of person that since my first niece was born when I was, 15 years old, you know, my sister always relied on me to watch over her. And I would take her everywhere and protect her and try to be that father figure towards her. And it just happened to happen to other females in my family that I would do the same exact thing. I helped out my little sister grow up. I helped my little cousin grow up. I helped my other nieces grow up. So I took on that responsibility because I knew that it was a void that they didn't have. Not saying that they didn't have a father, not saying they didn't have a male in their life, but they didn't have someone that they actually could speak to whenever issues come up and they needed answers. And I always was there for them. So when I see children, you know, I don't even have a problem when I see children in the community and I see them that they look like they need some type of help. I try to help them best as I can. I have a friend that he died and his wife was left with two children and I was the godfather of one of their children. And I made sure that that was my responsibility to help out her the best way I can. So it wasn't about, you know, like I said, I'm not in the dating system, so I can't answer that. But it's not about, you know, you have a child and I don't want to date you. It's about this is a child, regardless of what it is. And this child needs something and is a void. And you're a person that's able and willing to step in. So I've always been in that type of mode and always step in and be ready to help out any way I can. Sometimes my lady be like, Greg, you help out everybody. You think you just could save everyone? If I could, I would.
Yeah.
But, you know, obviously I can't, but, you know, whatever situation is, that's what I'm going into. I don't care.
Yeah, Greg, we have a caller on the line. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for being so patient with us. Caller, go ahead. State your name and where you're from.
Hey, Greg, what's up? It's Hamadi, bro. I'm actually Greg's little brother from across the block.
Hey, what's going on,
actually, buddy? I think it's actually a great opportunity when a man gets a chance to step into a child's life and take on a position as a father figure, even if that, especially if that child doesn't have that father figure in his life, rather the father's upset at a situation that might have happened with the mother, or, you know what I'm saying, it's just a situation in general that they can step in and provide some type of father figure for that child. Me personally, I'm in a situation like that. So I can speak on that, as well as being instrumental in the children's lives in the community. So anytime you get an opportunity to be around a child, you should really take full advantage of that. I know I've learned a lot from watching Greg, of course, grow up. And I don't know if Chris is on the line, but Chris, too, of course. And we pretty much take care of our community. It's very important, I think, as males, black males in the community especially, that we are role models and we take advantage of any opportunity that we can to work with children.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
I agree with you 100%, brother. Thanks
Thank
for the call,
you.
Brother.
Thank you for calling.
Not a problem, man. You guys have a good night.
You too. Thanks.
You too.
All right.
Guys?
Yes, ma'am.
Chris, did you have anything to add to that issue, the subject of raising other people's children or becoming a step parent?
For me, I can like speak for myself. It depends where I was in life before my career didn't allow it. I was always abroad, you know, depending on if I was in Asia, Africa, Europe, touring, making music, acting. So I wasn't able to say I'm going to settle down and be there for somebody else and their child because I know I wasn't going to be around for a long time, and that's why I was single for so long. Now on the other side of things, when I'm more stationed and I know my foundation and where I'll be for the upcoming years, I'm definitely open to it. And as Greg said, and as Hamadi just stated, that, you know, these children need a support system. They need a figure that they can look up to, hopefully build and help rear their lives and hope take them to another level. So it depends on where I was in life. Like I said before, when I was younger, I wasn't able, I wasn't capable, I wasn't ready. But now I'm definitely open to it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. How do you guys feel about, and Greg, I'm sure that you've probably experienced this in guys that you know. Chris, this may be a little bit closer to home for you. If you're dating, how soon is too soon to allow just a woman that you're casually dating to meet your child, or is that off the table? I mean, what has to occur in the current relationship that you're in that you'll say, okay, I'm ready for you to meet my child? Chris?
I haven't gotten to that point, and I'm not sure when I will get to that point. I guess it depends on if you feel like the relationship is going to be long-lasting. And for me, I don't see that happening in the time being. But I guess if you just know that there's a relationship where the relationship is blossoming and this could be someone that's going to be in my life. So if this person's in my life, I want it to be in my child's life. And once you have that realization, I think it's time, and it seems like you're open for it. But for me, myself, I don't see it anytime soon.
Now, another question. So with that in mind, when you're dating and you're a father, do you then begin to look for motherly qualities in a woman? I mean, if you were single and, you know, her being around your child wasn't a thought or an option, maybe you might not look at her having qualities that would make her a good mother. So when you're dating now, and I guess you're getting serious, is that a quality that now is a must on your list?
No, not at all. I mean, for right now, it's just all about me and her. It depends if, you know, I have those feelings, if I feel like it's something and there's a true connection. The way we get along, do we like the same things? Of course, it's all these attributes of relationship that everybody knows. But it never does it factor in that, oh, can she be a good mother?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if she doesn't have kids, you know, a lot of people don't seem that way until they do have kids, until they're in that situation. I mean, I know myself as a father, no one probably would have thought, oh, Chris would have been a great father. You know, Chris is all over the place. How could he be a great father? But after, you know, you have to be in that situation. So when I'm courting somebody, when I'm meeting someone, when we're dating, that never factors in. It all depends if they're the one for me. And if they're the one for me, I'm sure they'll be open to be the one for my son. And then
do they know that you are a father when you're actually dating them?
Of course they want to know, especially at this age. Well, usually it's not, do you have any, you know, they don't say, are you a father? They say, how many kids you have? I'm like, what? First ask me if I have one before you ask me if I have, you know, multiple. But everyone wants to know. Because these are things you have to factor in, especially if I'm talking to someone and we're dating, that means time. So if a female has kids, that means she's not always available. So these also has to factor in when we're dating. You know what I'm saying? I know I can't call her Tuesday because I'm off on Tuesday. Oh, I don't have to go to set today. Hey, let's go do something. You know, all that has to factor in. I have to know that their schedule and, you know, where their time lies.
Mm. Yeah.
Everybody in this day and time wants to know child situation.
Yeah. Greg, how do you feel about that?
I think Chris summed it up pretty well. I don't know about my personal experience because I don't have any. So, but I could just imagine, per se, if I was on the market and I am dealing with a woman, I might be looking into those particular features. Because I don't want to get too committed to somebody that doesn't have those type of qualities that's going to be right for my daughters, point blank. It's because to me, and like I said, I'm not dating now, so I don't know. But to me, I know how I am right now. I don't really look for much in my life anyhow. You know, if I did get back into the dating scene, I'd be thinking of, okay, you know, is this person a good person? Does she have great credit? And what kind of qualities does she have with her children and with her family?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the things I will try to build, and that's what the things I'll try to attract to myself. When I actually allow them to see my daughters, that's a tough one right there, because like Chris said, you know, or I think he was alluding to, you know, his son is his world, and he doesn't want to bring anything into his son's world that's going to actually destroy that. So I think it's a touch and feel type of thing. And when you know that the particular person is right and you know you're going the long distance with that person, then I think it's safe for you to allow that person in. But also let that person know that she's not the replacement of the actual mother that actually birthed the children. And that mother is the one that has top saying of everything when it comes to the children's life. And if we discuss whatever we discuss, you got to allow that to happen. And when we are ready we will allow you to be into the life. And now if the mother does not want the child to be around any particular person whatsoever, then that's a different story. And I don't know if any woman, you know, a lot of women probably don't want to deal with that because they don't want that drama. But if that is a situation that we can actually speak and we can allow us to have a good conversation to allow another person in to help us out with the situation of growing this particular child. I know a lot of women out there that are single and their fathers or husbands is out there trying to date somebody else and say, hey, you know, whatever woman you get, make sure she can take care of my kid. Because when she's over there and my kids are over there, I want a good example. So, So a lot of times women don't really care about that. They just care about their child's safety and their well-being. And if that woman is that person, then everything's good to go.
I want to circle back around. And my reasoning for asking you guys, are you looking for those motherly and nurturing qualities in a woman? I have a close friend, family member, you can call him that. Mm-hmm. He is catching holy hell with the woman that he's with now. He's had a child with her. And a huge red flag for me, and I tried to warn him about this before he had a child with her. She already had two children that had been taken by the state for neglect. To me, that is not a red flag. That is, like, ridiculous. And he doesn't understand that was a huge no-no. And he should not have continued on a relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't have. And he just really doesn't understand now why. He doesn't understand why now things aren't working out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that should have been a huge red flag.
So what's your question, Priscilla?
Should you look for motherly figures? Should you look for a woman who's going to be a mother when introducing her to your kid?
I know I do. I would. Even when I pick my wife, you know, her qualities of who she is. You know, if we was having children or not, it's just what type of person are you? You know, how do you treat your younger siblings, your younger cousins, things like that? How do you treat people around you? And if you're not that type of person to be around people, you don't want to deal with people, you know, is a good possibility that you're not going to be good to your children as well, too. You know, maybe different. I can't necessarily say yes or no to it, but, you know, what you see around that particular person and how they treat other people and how they treat other young kids, you know, could be a reflection of that. So, you know, you always have the telltale signs of what to do and what not to do. And a lot of times people ignore it because they get those butterflies in their stomach when they see that person. They only think about today and not understanding the commitment that can happen when you lay down with this woman and what can actually produce out of that laying down. You know, I know it's not an easy task to accomplish and saying, hey, you know, I like a woman, but, you know, I got this emotional connection with her, but now I need to really check on what other stuff she has. I know it's a hard thing to say because you're already inside of that infatuation stage. But you really have to calm down and think about what you're actually putting yourself into and what you're trying to make in your future. Because if you're going to lay down with her, you might as well just imagine that you might be with laying down with her for another 18 years. And if you can't do that, what's the point? So type of thing that you're trying to do with this person, you always have to look at what type of future could possibly happen from this if you go with this particular path. That's just my point on it.
Yeah, I can see that. As far as your friend or your family member, a close family member, family friend, it was on him. Like you said, you try to warn him, but there's no one can warn him if she has two kids that were taken from by the state, by the state. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it was a custody battle and the first baby's father came and, you know, won them in a court case. They were taken by the state. So that's his ignorance and his ignorance, you know what I'm saying, that he couldn't see the signs. I mean, what did he say to you? What went through his mind when you told him?
He just wouldn't listen. He just carried on, and now he is in what we call a cluster F-U-C-K. But I don't understand why he couldn't see that.
how long were they together before he found out? Number one, how long were they together before he found out that kids were taken by the state? And two, how long were they together before they had the kid together?
Immediately he found out that the children were taken. That was no secret because I was very disturbed at that. And then they had a child maybe about a year later together.
A year later.
Mm-hmm.
Does she have all three kids now, or are the two kids still in foster homes?
Oh, God, no. The other two kids are gone. She's never getting them back. And the fear is now that DFACS is looking at their child together because she already has two children that have been taken from her.
Exactly. She's got poor credit.
Mm-hmm. Poor credit, yes.
Yeah,
poor credit.
But what? What is,
well,
what
poor
you
credit with
your
with
kids can be
children.
Taken for poor credit?
No.
You got poor credit with children, Chris.
Oh, good.
So you see these particular signs, you know. But a lot of times people are like, ooh, she got a nice body. She does this with this. She does that, and that's what I like. And they're just thinking about today, you know. And like Chris said, you can't tell him, you know, because he's already in that infatuation stage and he can't see, got blinders on. So once that happens, you know, a lot of times people fall short and get into these situations they can't get out of. But, you know, Lauryn Hill used to say, had a song that said, let your emotions be crucified. And that's how I try to live my day in and day out of my life. I don't try to get emotionally attached to almost anything. I try to look at things logically. Because I know what my emotions could lie to me. They could tell me things that I think is true when it's really not. But, you know, math, logic always comes out to be what it is. And what you see is what you're going to get. And if you don't think that particular way, you're going to get yourself, not all the times, but some of the times, messed up. And you don't want to be that particular way and get yourself in situations like your friend is.
Absolutely. There's nothing I can do for him now. I mean, there's nothing more to say. But I just really think that in dating, and I talk to my son about this all the time, you have to look for certain qualities. You have to. I think that it's crucial. And, you may not plan to have children with this woman. You may not even plan to marry her. But does she have those basic qualities? I mean, could she be somebody's mother? Is she completely ratchet? I don't know. Can you take her everywhere? Those are things that I would think would be important, but I'm a woman. I'm not a guy. So I was just curious about that. And it was actually fresh on my mind. So another question. For you guys, if you're in a step-parent relationship, and let me lay this out really quickly. You're with a woman. She has a child. You step in and say, hey, I'm step-parent. Yay, I got my cape on. I got this. And then you have a biological child with her. Do you think you love the kids differently?
Ooh.
You got her kid. You've been there for him, got attached to him. But then your child comes along, looks just like you. You feel that connection. And there's nothing like that connection to your biological child. Is there an issue there?
I think you answered your own question. You said there's nothing like your own biological child. I mean, being logical and being honest, of course, you're going to raise your child just a little bit differently. You're going to give them the extra umph. You're going to push them a little bit harder. You want to praise them a little bit more when they do something amazing. And, it's just going to happen.
But are you honest about that with her? Are you honest about that with her, with your wife?
I don't think if it is discussed, when I don't think it will be discussed, but if it is discussed, be totally honest. I mean, this is my pride and joy. This is of me. So, of course, I want to see them reach the umpteenth level, you know. So if it's the other child, my stepchild, that's why it's an adage, you know. You treat me like a stepchild because you treat them differently.
I think it's the relationship you have with the child, with the stepchild. If you had a really close bond with that particular child, then you're going to try to do the best for that particular child the way that child needs to be raised. And you're going to try to do the same thing with your child. I don't know if you can actually speak on this, Priscilla, but, you know, when you have multiple children, you have that issue as well, too. Like, who is the favorite child? Did this person get more attention than the other? For me, I know what my daughters need. I know one daughter, you know, she can't take a lot of things, you know, so you can't be critical on her. You can't come down on her hard. My other daughter, she don't care. You can say anything to her. She's like, whatever, daddy, let's keep on moving. So I give them according to what they need to survive. So to me, I constantly try to do that same thing with everybody that I come in touch with. I got my younger sisters, you know, I treat her the way that she needs to be treated in order for her to survive. My nieces, the same exact way. They are my blood, but they're not physically from me. But if a situation came between my daughter and my niece, I'm going to look at it as what is needed more by what person. And that's the person that's going to get it.
Yeah.
That's to me.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily talking about inheritance or anything like that, but just what they need in life and whatever situation it calls for. If this particular person needs it more, that's the person's going to get it. I don't try to play favoritism because it's from my flesh. I try to play favoritism because this is what you need to be successful, and I'm going to help you to get that place. And I'm going to give you my all. That's just personally how I think of it.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we got another great show in the books, and it's been great. But unfortunately, we have some bad news. Chris will be leaving us. This is his last show. I came up with this idea to make up this show about 6 months ago, and I've been trying to get other people to be my my sparring partner within the actual show. I couldn't find anybody to make a perfect fit. I came to Chris, and I told him about the situation of the show, the idea. He said, Greg, I love it. Let me help you out. Let me get you started, you know, because I don't like you just turning your wheels. I want you to actually get this flowing. So I thank you, Chris, for allowing us to get to this particular place, to get us feet wet, get Priscilla on board, that we can actually get this show to the place that we have it right now. And I'm sorry that you have to leave, but once again, deep down from the bottom of my heart, I thank you for allowing me to fulfill one of the lifelong dreams I had, to actually speaking to people and allowing people to hear my voice. I really appreciate it. So, Chris, thank you, and please close us out.
Greg, it's been an amazing ride. It's been a short ride, but it's been an amazing ride. I thank you for asking me to be a part of it. I know this is what you really wanted, and I really want to see you get it up and running. It's been a beautiful thing. I think we've reached and touched a lot of people, and I'm sure you'll go on. You, Priscilla, Tiffany, who's manning the or womaning the Twitter and the social media, y'all going to blast off. Y'all going to take it to another level. I thank y'all for letting me be a part of it for these 4 weeks. It's been what I really wanted to do, and I wish you all, everyone, the best. Priscilla, Greg, Tiffany, again, thank you for having me.
No
thank
problem,
you.
Chris.
And what's the next week's show, man? What's going on? What are y'all doing next week? I got to make sure to tune in.
Next week, we're talking about, do you really want to get married? About, you know, understanding what's going on within the other person's life. Do you understand all their secrets, dark secrets, and, you know, the dark secrets of the family? Do you really want to get involved in that? And, you know, why don't men want to compromise with women, different things like that? So we're going to go all over the gambit. And I guess that's our time. Any final words, Priscilla, Chris?
No, I think it was a great show. I think we covered a lot of topics. I think it was a really good in-depth show. I enjoyed
cool.
it.
It's been dope. It's been dope. And people, please, please keep tuning in. This is where it's at. Okay, okay. Should I say we're listening or they're listening?
We're listening. They should be listening.
All right, guys. That's our show for tonight. Again, thank you, Chris. Thank you.
Thank you, Priscilla. Have a good one. Tiffany, Greg, once again.
Good night, y'all. Thank you, Chris.
doodlebug. I was. Oh, no, and it was just ringing through the, well, I don't know. I was on there. Huh? No, it just kept ringing through, ringing through. Every time you call, it just kept ringing through. That's okay. That's all right.